spread his mouth around his face. He muttered something under his breath. One Eye raised a hand. A ball of light formed within his curled fingers. There was a pop like that of a cork coming out of a wine bottle. One Eye held a hand full of swamp bottom. It oozed between his fingers and ran down his arm. He lowered his hand and stared in disbelief. He let out a shriek and whirled. Innocent Goblin was faking a conversation with Mergen, but Mergen was not up to the deceit. His shifty eyes gave Goblin away. One Eye puffed up like a toady frog, ready to explode. Then a miracle occurred. He invented self-restraint. A nasty little smile pranced across his lips, and he turned back to the guides. That was the second time in my experience that he had controlled himself when provoked, but then it was one of those rare times when Goblin had initiated the process of provocation. I told Otto, "This could get interesting." Otto grunted an affirmative. He was not thrilled. Of One Eye, I asked, "Have you finished telling them you're the necromancer voice of the North Wind, come to ease the pain in their hearts, brought on by worry about their wealth?" He'd actually tried to sell that once, to a tribe of savages coincidentally in possession of an eye-popping cache of emeralds. He found out the hard way that primitive does not mean stupid. They were fixing to burn him at the stake when Goblin decided to bail him out. Against his better judgment, he always insisted afterward. "It ain't like that this time, Croaker. I wouldn't do it to my own people." One Eye does not have an ounce of shame, nor even the sense not to lie to those who know him well. Of course he would do it to his own people. He would do it to anybody if he thought he could get away with it, and he has so little trouble conning himself on that. "See that you don't. We're too few and too far from safety to let you indulge yourself in your usual line of shit." I got enough menace into my voice to make him gulp. His tone was markedly different when he resumed gobbling at our prospective guides. Even so, I decided I would pick up a smatter of the language, just to keep an ear on him. His often misplaced self-confidence has a way of asserting itself at the most unpropitious moments. Straight for a time, One Eye negotiated a deal that pleased everyone. We had ourselves guides for the passage through the jungle, and intermediary interpreters for the land that lay beyond. Relying on his usual moronic sense of humor, Goblin dubbed them Baldo and Weezer, for reasons that were self-evident. To my embarrassment, the names stuck. Those two old boys probably deserved better, but then again. We wended our way between the shaggy, humpbacked hills the rest of that day, and as darkness approached, we topped the cleavage between the pair that flanked the summit of our passage. From there, we could see the sunset, reflecting bloody wounds of a broad river and the rich green of the jungle beyond. Beyond us lay the tawny humps, and beyond them a hazy sprawl of indigo. My mood was reflective, flat, almost down. It seemed we might have reached a watershed in more than a geographical sense. Much later, unable to sleep for thoughts that questioned what I was doing here in an alien land, thoughts that replied that I had nothing else to do and nowhere else to go, I left my bedroll and the remaining warmth of our campfire. I headed for one of the flanking hills,